next speaker is Howard Moskowitz. He's president of Moskowitz Jacobs Incorporated in the United States. Howard.
Thank you very much. I'm going to sit down when I present. I'm a bit back.
It's on?
Yes. Good.
My presentation should really be entitled Sequencing the Genome of the Customer's Mind. And like any other speaker, I'll start by the conclusion. The goal is using scientific methods that are rapid, granular, so it deals with specific topics, figure out the algebra of the mind of the customer with respect to specific food and non-food behaviors, such as eating low-salt foods, shopping. Once you do this by experimental design, you have a sense of the mind of the customer. You know exactly what's right, what turns the customer on, what turns the customer off. You also find segments, and when you find segments, you know that there are people with different signals who will react. This is very good for marketing, and it's very good for public policy. If you want to have somebody reduce the calories, what do you say to that person? There are different mindset segments. People don't walk around with their mindset segments engraved on the top of their heads. So you don't use the traditional data mining methods, but rather you use intervention with a typing test. Once you do that, you're able now to figure out the algebra of the mind, do this for marketing and for public policy, and perhaps change the entire business and health environment. So with that, the food scene is changing. The need is to develop innovative products. The old models just don't work. There's a lot of data mining going on, but that doesn't really tell you exactly what to do. It just tells you that there's a generalized relation between age, income, background, and what you're likely to eat. You have to narrow cast. You have to figure out the algebra of each individual customer's mind. And it's the story of the old radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me? How do we do that? It's not enough just to talk about it. You have to have a method that does it rapidly, does it inexpensively, and can be scaled up. There are signs, the food world is changing. Packaged goods companies are coming under tremendous, tremendous pressures, whether these pressures be from regulators, whether these pressures be from competition, from a recalcitrant, reluctant group of customers. And a lot of people are trading down to store brands. There's a tremendous ferment. Nothing is remaining unchanged. Nothing is easy and pleasurable the way it used to be. There's a lot of small producers. There's an intensive distribution. Efficiency is becoming important. There's always the ever-changing preferences of consumers. So this is the world that we face. But what's the problem if we're a government and we want to institute or help people have better food habits, if we're companies that want to sell our products? What do we do in this world? The old advertising and develop models just don't work anymore. People want to get what they want to get, not what you want to give them. We need to cut through the many offerings, the many messages. We have to change the patterns of what we're doing and turn ourselves almost 180 degrees around. We used to think of the company broadcasting information to the customer. And the company gives the customer what the company wants and the customer buys. But that's not going to work anymore. The messages are too complicated and they're not effective. We have to think about today's medical model, which is the magic bullet that's targeted to the individual customer. How does Canada, how does the United States, how does the world, how do companies and governments know the algebra of any citizen's mind, any customer's mind, so that you can have one-to-one marketing, whether that marketing be of the new product idea or that marketing be of the new behavior, health-oriented behavior? Now, there are people who are working on it. There are people called data miners, statisticians, who have reams and reams of data. If you just go to Amazon or Google, they have so much information. They're awash with information and drowning in it. But they sort of look at your propensity to buy as a function of what you've purchased before. Anybody who's bought a book on Amazon knows that you'll get a recommendation about every 3 days. People have bought whatever you've bought, have also been interested, and you get, you know, name one of 10 different books. That's okay if you have a world where everybody is buying things. But that's not really going to the heart of the mind. That's looking at your external behaviors and saying, if I can measure your external behavior, which is a privacy issue, then I could recommend something. But wouldn't it be better to have something where you have an intervention, where you interact with the customer, sort of like the doctor? When you go to the doctor no longer spends hours and hours learning about your family history, that, you know, at the age of 8 years old, you fell off a tree and hurt your arm and you had an operation. That's nice to fill in. But the doctor brings you to the phlebotomist. The phlebotomist says, squeeze your hand 3 times, you close your eyes, you have something piercing your arm, and 3 days later you have a 12-line report that this enzyme is high, that enzyme is low, you ought to take Lipitor, watch out about your kidney function, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do we take that same notion of science about the body and make it science about the mind, and have an intervention so that when we meet up with a customer, whether we're public policy or whether we're a company, we know who that person is and we know the hot buttons of that person. We want to create an algebra of the customer's mind. And this is the notion of addressable minds. What do you say to a customer that will improve the experience? You want to identify the specific hot buttons for the customer, whether you're Campbell's Soup and you want to find out what features to offer in a product, or what to make, what to say to the customer to buy the product, or your government of Canada, and you're interested in what do you say to a particular citizen to increase the probability that the citizen will adopt better health habits. You want to know what specific messages to give to each customer for a meaningful segment of one. Well, that's all very nice. That's what you'd like to do. But how do you really do it, and how do you do it today, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock? And I'm going to talk about chocolate, but it's the same thing whether it's chocolate or watching your blood pressure. It's all the same problem. You begin by an experiment. The experiment comprises a variety of phrases that you might use in advertising. You mix and you match them at the right. You create a foundational database for a typical, specific, granular piece of behavior, piece of experience, like eating chocolate. You run this with 300 to 500 people by internet, so it's scalable and easy. 24 hours to 36 hours later, you download the data, and you identify what are the elements in your set of messages that drive consumer interest. You also identify internal fundamental segments of the mind. On the right-hand side, the marketing messages or the health behavior messages. You have the segments, and then you create a typing test in the middle, your typing engine, such that if you meet that customer, that citizen, in some way, and you can get them, inveigle them, invite them to rate 4 questions based upon your study, you know exactly the segment to which that customer belongs, and you can send them the right marketing messages, whether these messages be the correct messages for a product or for health. Imagine now scaling this up where you did these kinds of granular, specific studies for the entire range of products or an entire range of health-related life experiences, where you figured out the algebra of the mind for 500 people across Canada, where in each study you got the segments so you know exactly what to say, and therefore you have a book of what do you say. You then have a typing tool, and each page of that typing tool deals with identifying the person as a segment member for, let's say, blood pressure control, diet control, soup preferences, etc. Once you do that, you have a tool that you can scale up across all of Canada or perhaps all of the world and essentially sequence the mind of the customer or the citizen for a variety of different actions. All you need is the time with the respondent. In Peter Drucker's words, learn how to manage your business. Start with a granular person-by-person information, and we do it with chocolate. Create the elements for the chocolate experience or the low-salt experience. Mix and match them. Test them among consumers on the web. Identify the elements that work. You can't fake this out because it's experimental design, and different things are mixing and matching, and create new segments. This is an example of we do this all the time. This is an example of a screenshot where you have different messages and the respondent is asked how interested are you in this candy. From that data for the 247 people, you can identify by statistical analysis the marginal contribution of every single one of the elements that's on the left, and you know the stuff that's that really motivates and the stuff that doesn't motivate. But then the interesting thing is that the people are really not homogeneous. The minds of your customers, your citizens, are not homogeneous. What appeals to one person may not appeal to another. You might think something like contains essential omega-3 fatty acids, which may reduce the risk of heart disease, is a non-starter, -1. But in fact, the data comprises four different groups. Knowing what turns each group on allows you to craft the right message for selling for a product or for health. And so what you end up doing is identifying the data, creating the database for people, and at the same time figuring out the segments which exist. And this is a second segment. Now you know what to put on the package, put in the package, show in an ad. Let's get more focused and let's go to applied science. The traditional segmentation divides people by behavior, psychodemographics, even taste. You create the marketing pieces, whether it's low salt or chocolate. These segments may seem to be homogeneous, but the minds are really not. And the segments have minds that are heterogeneous. The segmentation and the typing tool that I'm referring to allows you to understand at a profound granular level the algebra of the mind for a specific experience, identify the segment to which any person belongs via a typing test. Scaling this up means that in terms of public health policy, we divide the different issues of public health into various studies. We do experimental design of ideas with 500 different people across Canada or around the world. Identify the segments, create by discriminant function analysis the typing tool, and all of a sudden, for each area of health concern or product, we have a 4 or 5 question typing tool, and now we proceed with a series of these typing tools in one interview across all of Canada to type 1 million people, 2 million people, 10 million people. All of a sudden, we have a method by which we can beam back messages for health, messages for marketing to individuals, not necessarily knowing who specifically they are, but rather having, on the one hand, their email address, their gender, their age, and the sequence of their mind, but not necessarily where they live, nor their name. And so what we've done essentially is change the entire paradigm around, going from general statements of an undifferentiated mass to sequencing the genome of the consumer mind with regard to a variety of areas through experimental design, which can be updated, and then creating for any individual who we identify a sequence of hers or his mind and a way of reaching that person while maintaining privacy. Thank you.